IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
So the story that I was mentioning earlier, dad took photos of his naked toddler for the doctor. Google flagged him as a criminal. So because Google has an automated tool to detect the abusive images of children, but the system can get it wrong and the consequences are serious. So Mark apparently noticed something amiss with his toddler. So apparently his genitals looked swollen and were hurting him. So he's a stay-at-home dad. He grabbed his Android smartphone. Why single out Android? Why single out that it was an Android? You know, we don't do that anymore. We don't say the perpetrator was black. We don't say they were white. We don't say they were Indian colored. We don't say those things. Why do we have to say that it was an Android? Anyway, I feel a bit victimized here, but that's a completely different subject. He takes a photo, and then his wife called an advice nurse at the healthcare provider to schedule an emergency consultation the next morning by video. So she also then took his phone, Android, and texted a few high-quality close-ups of their son's groin area. That, by the way, was to her iPhone. So she could upload them to the healthcare provider. And then, obviously, things went a little bit wrong. Because the technology companies routinely capture so much data, they've been pressured to act as sentinels, examining what passes through their server. And this couple got into a little bit of trouble. So we wanted to understand what this means today. Dr. Wade Selong, lecturer of Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and to your listeners. Thank you for inviting me.
A great pleasure. So this is, it's actually interesting because obviously there's too many images and there are too many things passing from one phone to another through servers to be able to do anything manually. This could really get into trouble.
Yes, so what they've done, and this isn't new technology, they have been doing it for, I think, almost a decade now. They have been, computer scientists have come up with algorithms that effectively look at the amount of skin tone in a photograph, and if it meets a certain threshold, then it may likely flag it as, oh, we think this might be a picture of a of pornography. Obviously, then it needs to just determine if it's child pornography or if it's of an adult.
Once that happens, shouldn't there then be a manual, shouldn't there be a real person behind there saying, hold on a minute, this makes sense, or no, it doesn't?
Well, I think in the case of the story that you've mentioned, I think yes, people were manually involved. They brought people in and they looked at the photographs. And you have to admit that if you didn't hear their side of the story about, oh no, I took the photograph, the genital areas of my child, to send it off to a doctor. If you look at from the side of someone who's investigating, you would think, well, someone took photos of a young person's genitals and then distributed it. We noticed that it went one person to this individual, but it also went to another individual. It looks like the beginning of a distribution.
Right. So from that perspective, obviously it does look a little bit suspicious. So to some extent, it actually is quite good that this was flagged.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier that they seem to be only picking on Google, Android, and that's not quite true. So what happened is Apple also came up with a similar technology last year, and they announced that they were going to roll it out about in August of last year. But then came September, they shelved the project and said, listen, they actually need to go back to the drawing board and think about this some more, because their plan did have a bit of the issues that we are now seeing reported in the Android example.
Is there any chance that that we're going to be able to completely rely on technology, or is there always going to be the human intervention side required? In other words, as we are training the algorithms and as we are training our, the systems to pick up the details and nuances around it, will it get better, or will we still always rely on on human intervention?
I think the safest is to rely on human intervention. At the end of the day, as you mentioned earlier, there is a lot of such material, and I'm not saying just child pornography, but normal, innocent pictures. Maybe you've taken some intimate pictures and sent it to your partner. This sort of content is floating around, as you say, through all the servers, and the AI or the computer algorithms are really there to do most of the boring work and say, okay, we're going to look at everything, but if there's anything interesting, we will let a human come in and say, look, you make the final decision. Because can you imagine if you allow a computer to make the decision and there's that human element here that said, oh no, I was very worried. I took photographs of my child's genitals. I sent it to a doctor, and the computer then made a decision, said, no, we're going to send the police over to you. We're going to also, you know, judge you in at the same time. And thank you. You're going straight to jail for 5 years or something like that. That might be a little bit difficult to swallow.
How does it work in terms of global law enforcement? So if this is happening, you know, if it happens, let's say in South Africa, and how do we manage it here, for example?
Well, I can't say I'm familiar with the laws yet, but we have had a few incidences where international law enforcement came across content, child pornography, and what they then did was they sent notifications to our local law enforcement and asked them for their cooperation in dealing with the suspects. I think you might have read in the news, I think it was last month or earlier this year, there was a woman in the Cape Flats. She was allegedly selling photographs of her child on the dark web. And this was flagged by, I believe, the FBI, and they asked our local enforcement to arrest this woman, and they did so last year, and it's only this year where the court case is now going forward. It does look like an international collaboration.
Well, it is interesting that, because whether we like it or not, there is going to be this need for international collaboration. And the question is, you know, it reminds me of the way Facebook grew so quickly that it took them a while to sort of catch up and make sure that they anticipate and managed all of the nuances around it. And I think that we're going to see the same thing here, I would imagine, that internationally we're just going to have to keep up if we want things to, if we want to keep ahead of this.
Yes, so there are actually databases of known child pornography content, or you know, that is distributed amongst the law enforcement agencies across the world. What happens there is it's not the library of the actual photographs, but they perform a mathematical calculation on the content. So the idea is if they come across files that are similar or match the exact files they're looking for, it then gets, it likely will be flagged. So there is a, almost like a wanted list where they say these are known content, please be on the lookout for it. So that, you don't have certain law enforcement agencies going, oh, we have to look for these things all over again, but if they come across new content that's not currently in the database, then they would add it.
Absolutely. That's where we leave it. Dr. Wade Selong, lecturer of Academy of Computer Science, Software Engineer at the University of Johannesburg, talking about the dangers of automated tools. Karen says, hi, Howard. How about we call the gang Bugsy Boys? Very, very cool. Your Friday show was awesome. Beautiful music this morning, especially Joey Newcomb. And Anton L. says, those photos sent via Apple, that's why things went wrong. That's why they went pear-shaped. It is 6:57. Good morning.